This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And still to come on the show, we'll talk about how much the tolls on all the roads around here are going to go up. It's another big, fat, I told you so. As soon as they got the tolls in, they were going to jack them as fast as they could, as often as they can, and they're going to expand them as much as possible. And so we'll talk to our transportation specialist, Chris Sullivan, about how much this is going to cost you. All right, a story that I'm fascinated with, and Nicole, we got to get hold of this woman over on the Olympic Peninsula. I want to talk to Doris Parks. She sounds fascinating to me.
I agree. If anybody can help us with that, please let me know.
Yeah, it's a good story. Eric Lacidus is a terrific columnist, a reporter, used to be a columnist at the Seattle Times. But he did a story about this woman named Doris Parks. She lives on Long Beach Peninsula over on the coast. And she has just been convicted of feeding black bears at her home. And the little newspaper there is the Chinook Observer. And it made front page news because it's tough. They called her an Ilwaco woman. That's the city, not her mental state. Ilwaco. But it took six jurors just 30 minutes of deliberation in court last week to find an Ilwaco woman guilty of intentionally feeding black bears. In Doris Parks, there were cameras. Neighbors had cameras and showed bears would regularly walk up to her house, then walk around the house, and then the cameras lost sight of the bears. But the neighbors said all the bears that would visit her house came out really fat, they put it. And by the way, I don't think we should fat shame bears, because that's how they start developing eating disorders. So stop calling bears fat. But they did, and it turns out that it is illegal to knowingly or unknowingly feed bears in our state. But according to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Doris Parks is the only one who has been prosecuted for this. And the Fish and Wildlife guy said, usually we just go up to them and say, hey, stop feeding the bears, and we might even write a ticket. But we don't usually go to trial. But she had a one-day trial a couple of weeks ago. As I said, a six-member jury took less than 1 hour to convict her. Evidence presented included security videos taken by Parks' neighbors across the street showing big and little bears casually strolling around. No video of bears eating or of food left explicitly outside her home for them was introduced. But a wildlife officer wrote a 23-page report, and he said that he would often see up to five bears enter and leave the back deck area. Some of the bears, he wrote, and this is where we get into the fat shaming now, some of the bears were extremely fat and not what a normal bear would look like. So I don't know how much she's given these bears, but here from the court, Doris Parks being found guilty of feeding these black bears over on the Olympic Peninsula.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Doris Parks, guilty of the crime of intentionally feeding or attempting to feed large wild carnivores or intentionally attracting large wild carnivores to land or a building as charged in count one of the complaint.
So you don't even have to intentionally feed the bears if you, you know, leave out some garbage and they keep getting into your garbage. You can be convicted for that as well. But I like the quotes in Eric Lacidus' story. She's 77 years old, Doris Parks, and she said, they should be ashamed of themselves dragging me through the court. Me, a 77-year-old woman. Let's say I'm not their favorite person, never will be. Maybe it's because I'm from Switzerland. Yeah, there is very anti-Swiss sentiments that are running rampant throughout our state here.
She also, so, I believe she calls the bears, she's not threatened by them. She says they're just fluffy or something, that hit her fluffies or something. And then she says that she's actually feeding the raccoons that food, and they have very good manners, the raccoons.
Yeah, she says that she does not think black bears are ferocious, but they are big fluff balls. And she said that she does feed raccoons, and that bears move around. If they happen to stumble upon a hummingbird feeder in somebody's backyard, that's the mother load of calories, kind of like when, you know, Winnie the Pooh, he loved putting those beehives filled with honey on his head. And that's what a hummingbird feeder is.
He has a honey jar. Honey jars are on his head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they'll get the nectar, lick it out, suck it out, she said. There are, do you know how many black bears there are in our state? This is
how many?
25 to 30,000 black bears in our state. They get hundreds of complaints every year, urban sightings, property damage, attacks on livestock, and bear-human confrontations. The more dangerous grizzlies are in isolated areas of the state's northern border, but the black bears aren't considered particularly dangerous.
Her neighbor, whose video was used in the case, I think, he said he doesn't want her to end up in trouble for this because he kind of likes seeing the bears come through, but realizes it could be trouble.
She said that, like you said, she would give raccoons, she would buy big bags of dog food at Costco. And she said that she wasn't feeding the bears, she was feeding the raccoons. My wife and I had friends, we'd play tennis with them. They had a house that was against a green belt in Magnolia. And they loved feeding the raccoons. And the raccoons were so cool because we'd be sitting in their house. And if there wasn't any food out, the raccoons would walk up to their sliding glass door and they'd knock on the glass. And they would say they, you know, need the food. And my sister, my sister up near Silverdale, she has a bunch of hummingbird feeders. And if the hummingbird feeders are empty, they'll start playfully buzzing her head until she gets the feeders filled. So I like all this stuff.
Yeah, except for that's why you have to be careful, because they get vicious when they don't get what they are used to. And as far as the bears go, I don't know why anybody does this, because if that bear gets used to humans, they put the bear down. So you're not helping any bears by feeding them, because if they get too used to it.
Well, there you go. Doris Parks, 77 years old, facing anti-Swiss discrimination, she thinks. And that's why she's been convicted of feeding bears.
And these bears are already being put down by being called fat. So, you know, I don't know what's going on.
To their...
We're already putting them down with our words. We don't need to do it with deadly drugs as well. Crying out loud. Okay, next up in the... Oh, I loved this story. In the Fast 50, about how... We told you yesterday that the Foo Fighters are planning a concert at Madison Square Garden. Full attendance. They're not going to have any restricted seating. But you must show proof of vaccination to get a ticket and to get inside of Madison Square Garden. And I read a great story about this, about when did it happen that rock and roll became not about being a rebel? I mean, you know, rock and roll was always about being an outsider, a rebel yourself. They even wrote songs about what rebels they were back in the MTV days, with lip curled up, sneering at the camera. So the Billy Idol rebel days are gone. Now, rock and roll is all about conformity, and if you want to be a fan of band, you better do exactly what the band tells you, because there is no room for you to step out of line. And it talks about the Foo Fighters concert, where tickets go up to $985, not in the aftermarket. This is the first sale tickets, up to $985, and you must present a Vax passport when you get the tickets. But who wrote this column? It was really good. Kevin Downey. And he said, Rebel, Rebel, you got your shot? And he was talking about how in the 50s, disaffected teenagers were eager to rebel against their suburban square parents. And rock and roll was kind of the first outlet for that. Elvis's hips were too risque for primetime TV. Moms and dads, they thought, oh, it's just a phase they're going through. But no, then the Beatles came. The Rolling Stones compelled nervous fathers to escort their virtuous daughters to concerts. Albums were burned to sanctify the young. But the devil's music had won the soul of the nation's youth. Now it's, do you believe in rock and roll? Can Pfizer save your mortal soul? The kids, they got addicted to heroin. They slept with hundreds of groupies. They took drugs. They got the STDs. And the rockers did. And the kids loved them. But there's no defiance anymore in rock and roll. Yeah, get your shot if you want to come see us play. The guy wrote, I'm not surprised Bruce Springsteen has jumped on the rock the vaxxed wagon. He hasn't been rock for years. When Bruce Springsteen isn't busy sleeping with someone else's wife, and I clicked on that link, Bruce Springsteen was accused when he was, you know, been married to his current wife, Patti Scalfa, for over a decade, that he had an affair with some woman at the gym. And they got the DUI like a few months ago. But he canceled a concert in North Carolina to protest a law regarding where transgender people can go to the bathroom. So there's nothing that says rebellious rocker like performing on Broadway for people with a vax card. He should call his music woke and roll. He's been out-rocked by the Captain and Tennille now. So on and on it goes. So rock and roll is not about being a rebel. It's not about nonconformity. It's about making sure that you do everything in lockstep with what your band masters tell you to do. And if not, you can't go to the show. That's it. You just can't go. All right, and it's true for airlines, too. United Airlines is now going to require new employees to be vaccinated. And why? Is it for medical reasons? Is it for health reasons? No, come on. In a statement, they said that they are going to require full COVID-19 vaccinations for all new employees because, quote, it's the right thing to do. And how often have we heard that? That people, I saw a TV news story about teenagers in Seattle who are getting vaccinated at age 13 and 14. Is it to protect public health? No, but I saw one kid on the news last night, and he said, well, we want to set an example for everybody else. And if they don't act the way that we tell them to act, well, then we can ostracize them. He didn't say that part. He just said they want to set an example. When did that happen? When did 14-year-olds want to set an example? When did they decide they didn't want to be rebels anymore? But anyway, at United Airlines, they're going to vaccinate all their employees because it's the right thing to do. See, I think you would do that because it's going to improve public health, public safety, but they can't make a logical argument for that. So now it's just, it's the right thing to do. It's all based on a very tenuous, flimsy moral argument, apparently. All right, and finally, in the fastest 15, so the United States has an embassy in most foreign countries, including the Vatican. And in what was an obvious slap at the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church has, you know, spoken out repeatedly about gay marriage, and the Pope, who's very liberal Pope, but he is upholding, you know, traditional Catholic doctrine on you know, some issues that are important to LGBTQ people. So the U.S. Embassy in Vatican decided to just thumb its nose at the Vatican by flying a pride flag outside of its building for the month of June. The U.S. Embassy in the Vatican, and the flag faces the Vatican government buildings, And they say they're doing it for the entire month of June to honor the LGBTQ community. You know what would really be making a statement? I know, going after the Catholics, that's easy. Flying your flag at the Vatican, nobody's going to do anything about it. Why don't you fly your flag at the embassy in some Muslim nations? That would be rock and roll right there. You know, Saudi Arabia or Indonesia, countries where it's illegal to be gay. Why don't you fly the flag there? Don't just take a stand against the Catholic Church, but take a stand, an equally strong stand, against the dogma, anti-gay dogma of Islam. Oh, that'd be too scary, wouldn't it? Oh, shoot. Okay, well, just do the safe stuff then. That's really rebellious of you, U.S. Embassy, Vatican. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes. We'll give you the world. Hey, we did in 15 minutes. So, okay, quick timeout. Check the news for you. And then, speaking of which, a teacher got fired or suspended for defending his Christian faith in a public school. And we'll tell you what a judge has said about that initial rule. Do that coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. I've talked often about the issue of it's become just a red hot national issue the last couple of months. And that's the story of biological boys who are competing against biological girls in the middle school and high school level. And if you know what's going on in Connecticut, there is a girl there who would have been the four-time Connecticut girls sprint champion. But the last 2 years, she's finished in third place behind two biological boys who identify as girls. And she's been very vocal about it. She says that it cost her a state championship. And people might say, well, the self-esteem of other kids is more important than a state championship. Now, if you work your whole life and you've, you know, earned on a level playing field, being the best in the state, whether it's an individual or a team sport, that's something you carry around for the rest of your life. It is a unique and a genuine thrill to be a state champion. And so you got this girl who's had that taken away from her the last couple of years because she's had to compete against biological boys. And then this thing really picked up heat a couple of Sundays ago when 60 Minutes talked to 30 young people who were detransitioning. And they said that they were, in most cases, biological boys who were transitioning to being girls, although there were some biological girls transitioning as well that they talked to. But they all said, yeah, it happened with minimal consultation. I would have maybe just a couple conversations with somebody, and they'd say, okay, we'll get you the hormones. And you can change your gender and your life, your physiology, your biology forevermore. And it should be a lot more sacred than that. When somebody makes a choice that will affect them for the rest of their lives. And so 60 Minutes talked to at least 30 kids who were now detransitioning. They had switched genders, now they want to switch back. And so now it's starting to pick up steam. Here in our state, the WIAA, the governing body of high school activities, including all sports, they have issued a guideline for transgender kids, and they try to make the case that transgender kids don't have a biological advantage. Jason had a story on this, and they wrote, "The athleticism of any female athlete, as we know, can vary widely from that of other peers. Height, musculature, build, and weight are a few variables that impact performance." That's not the argument. Nobody's saying the best girl athletes are at any given high school are probably better athletes than at least half the boys. But the argument is the best girls and the best boys, they don't have an even playing field. In every single event that is measured objectively by your running speed, your throwing, the height you jump, the distance you jump, in all of those objectively measured activities, boys have a 15 to 20% biological advantage. And that's just not open for question. That's not a debate. And, you know, I know more than a little bit about this. And I will tell you that most high school junior varsity boys basketball teams, the game is played above the rim. You know, most JV boys can dunk the basketball. I have seen on TV, but I've never met in person a girl who could dunk a basketball. There's just differences in physiology. Now, I know girls who can, you know, wipe the floor with most boys on the basketball court, the very best of the best. But in general, boys just jump higher and faster and run faster. So in the piece that the WIAA sent out, they said also that non-binary kids can switch teams whenever they'd like. That if you want to be on the girls' team 1 year and the boys' team the next, you can, or vice versa. You can go from the boys' team to the girls' team. Maybe you don't have much success competing at the boys' level and you want to still play high school sports. You can say you identify as a girl and play on the girls' team. And so there's nothing, there are not stringent enough standards in place. I bring this up because on a national level, and it has nothing to do with sports, but there is a PE teacher back in Virginia. And he, a couple of weeks ago, he said, my religious faith, I believe that, you know, God makes us man and woman. And that is his faith. And he says that, especially after the 60 Minutes story that shows how many kids were rushed into transitioning, and then at least 30 that 60 Minutes talked to want to transition back, he said, I don't want to be part of that. I think it's very damaging. I think it's very dangerous for kids. So here's the Virginia teacher who railed against the mandate. He was told, you must call kids by the pronouns that they say they are, regardless of whether it matches up with their biology.
Fairfax County Public School teacher, and I'm going to give a message of encouragement to parents and teachers and students who are too afraid to come and speak forward. Parents, the longer that you wait and you don't hold your child's schools accountable gives these guys more time to dictate what's best for your child's physical, mental, and emotional health. Don't be afraid to speak out for your kids because they are voiceless and they rely on you. You should be afraid of them rooting for socialism by the time they get to middle school. Teachers, it may seem that our careers have come to a dead end, but I'm here to remind you, we don't work for the school board. We work to mold the next generation of well-rounded American patriots. So don't give up because it is up to us. Students, you are on the front lines of these indoctrination camps. Challenge the staff when you are presented with a ludicrous statement and do not allow anybody to tell you that you cannot accomplish anything because of your skin color or to hate yourself because of your skin color.
So the teacher was talking more about critical race theory. Here is a PE teacher talking about gender and why he would not follow the mandate by his school district to call biological girls boys if that's what they choose, and vice versa.
My name is Tanner Cross, and I'm speaking out of love for those who suffer with gender dysphoria. 60 Minutes this past Sunday interviewed over 30 young people who transitioned, but they felt led astray because lack of pushback or how easy it was to make physical changes to their bodies in just 3 months. They are now detransitioning. It's not my intention to hurt anyone, but there are certain truths that we must face when ready. We condemn school policies like 8040 and 8035 because it will damage children, defile the holy image of God. I love all of my students, but I will never lie to them regardless of the consequences. I'm a teacher, but I serve God first, and I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa because it's against my religion, it's lying to a child, it's abuse to a child, and it's sinning against our God.
Okay, that's PE teacher Tanner Cross. After he said that at a school board meeting, he was almost immediately suspended by the school district. Now, I will tell you, a judge just ordered the school district to reinstate Tanner Cross into his PE teaching job. They said that he made a case that his reasoning was based on religious grounds. And as you know, government cannot tell us how to live our religion, to live our faith, what we must say, even if it's in defiance of our faith. Government is simply not allowed to do that. And so a judge just ruled that Tanner Cross has to be reinstated to his PE teaching job in the school district. He had been banned from all buildings and grounds of every school in the district when he first spoke out. But now he is back, and he's got the force of a judge ruling on his side now. So I know it remains a very controversial issue, but I will just tell you that anybody who says that there are not physiological, biological differences between biological boys and biological girls, that doesn't make any sense. Anybody who's involved in athletics knows that they are significant. And so the WIAA is pretending like they don't exist. And that's not fair to the girls who just want to compete and do their very best in whatever sport they are competing in. Okay, quick time out here. Oh, man, I got so much more to get to as the Dory Monson Show rolls on, including more lefties are turning against Kamala Harris because of her ridiculous statements about not visiting the U.S.-Mexico border. You're not going to believe what you're about to hear next here on the Dory Monson Show. Okay, I said we were going to play something else here, but we just got some brand new audio in that's too good to sit on, so to speak. So Jeffrey Toobin is CNN's legal analyst. He also wrote for the New Yorker magazine. He was most famous during the O.J. Simpson trial. He wrote kind of the definitive book about O.J. Simpson called The Run for His Life. Well, Jeffrey Toobin, during the stay-at-home period of COVID, he was on a lot of Zoom calls with both CNN and the New Yorker. On one of his New Yorker Zoom calls, he let the camera somehow dip below his waist, where it was quite obvious that Jeffrey Toobin was pleasuring himself while on the Zoom call. So the New Yorker suspended and then fired him. But now he's speaking out about it for the first time on CNN with anchor Allison Camerota.
So I guess I'll recap. I'll do the honors.
Help yourself.
Okay. In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from the New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera. You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there. And you since then have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
You got it all right, sad to say.
Okay, so let's start there.
Okay.
To quote Jay Leno, what the hell were you thinking?
Well, obviously, I wasn't thinking very well or very much. And it was something that was inexplicable to me. I think one point, I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible. But, I mean, that is part of the story. And, you know, I have spent the 7 subsequent months, miserable months in my life, I can certainly confess, trying to be a better person. I mean, in therapy, trying to do some public service, working in a food bank, which I certainly am going to continue to do, working on a new book about the Oklahoma City bombing. But I am trying to become the kind of person that people can trust again.
Why didn't you do those things before the incident? Oh, well. So he did apologize, though. And I don't know what he was thinking going on CNN for this.
In all seriousness. Above all, I am sorry to my wife and to my family, but I'm also sorry to the people on the Zoom call. I'm sorry to my former colleagues at The New Yorker. I'm sorry to my current, fortunately still, colleagues at CNN. And I'm sorry to the people who read my work and who watched me on CNN and who thought I was a better person than this.
He has three kids, too. Guy's about he's a couple years older than me, but he has three kids. And he mentioned he apologizes to his family. And then Allison, the anchor, she pointed to the irony of the pervs that he has covered.
For decades, you have covered the bad judgment and sexual proclivities of public figures and politicians like Bill Clinton and Anthony Weiner and Elliot Spitzer and Donald Trump. And I could go on. And so, you know, of course it begs the question, why didn't you have better judgment?
Because I didn't have better judgment, because I'm a flawed human being who makes mistakes. And, there is no defense for my conduct. The only issue is what should be the consequences. And The New Yorker made one decision about the consequences. CNN made a different decision, fortunately, for which I'm very grateful. But I am not going to come up here and like split hairs and try to come up with justifications or explanations. It was wrong. It was stupid. And I'm trying to be a better person.
Yes, it was wrong and stupid. Oh, what a bold statement by him. But he thought that getting fired by The New Yorker and suspended by CNN, he thinks that all is excessive.
Do you think, given that the punishment fits the crime?
You know, I am the worst person to ask that question. I mean, I know. I mean, obviously, I loved The New Yorker. I loved working there. I felt like I was a very good contributor to that magazine for a very long time. And I thought this punishment was excessive.
How can you think it's excessive, given what he did? This is just so massively stupid. Even O.J. Simpson, who he covered during the O.J. trial, even O.J. Simpson was making fun of Jeffrey Toobin and goofing on him.
Well, I mean, on that note, even O.J. Simpson took a swipe at you. And, you know, I think that it could be unpleasant to be the butt of jokes, obviously. And so I'm wondering if you think that will somehow color your legal analysis in the future.
I really don't think so. You know, my dad used to say something. He used to say, you can judge a person by their enemies. And if my enemy is O.J. Simpson, that is okay with me.
Well, Jeffrey, on that note, should we move on to the news?
Sure, let's go.
Okay. Let's do that.
This just in, Jeffrey Toobin speaking about the incident. Okay, we'll check the news for you, and then Festa, or the Big Lead 2 is coming up next.